بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama kiram, respected elders and dear brothers, we are all well aware that we have entered the Hijri year 1443, 1,443 years after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinatul Munawwara. And the beauty of the Islamic calendar is that the Islamic year ended with the month Zulhijjah, which is a very great, honorable, sanctified month, the season of Hajj. And the Islamic calendar begins with the month Muharram, which means something which is honorable, something which is sanctified. Because in reality, the entire life of a mu'min from birth to death is full of honor and sanctity. Every word that a mu'min utters is honorable. Every action that a mu'min carries out is honorable. The way a mu'min conducts himself in his business dealings is honorable. The way a mu'min behaves with his family members and associates is honorable. Morning to evening, birth to death, every aspect in the life of a mu'min is honorable. And therefore, on the day of Ashura, if we look into the nations of the past, the most honorable nation in history, that nation who was given the greatest status in the eyes of Allah, to the extent that in our Quran also, Allah has placed His seal of approval, فَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says we gave them virtue, honor, status over the entire world. The Banu Israel, the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Such honor they were given on the day of Ashura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered them, granted them freedom from Fir'aun and his army. Yet, when it came to their honor also, when the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was given nubuwat, and this ummah came into existence, Banu Israel also lost their title. Now number one in the court of Allah was this ummah. Now the most honorable in the court of Allah was this ummah. Now the most sanctified and respected in the court of Allah was this ummah. And therefore Allah's special favor upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that throughout the Islamic calendar, Allah gives us opportunities. Allah has special events, special occasions, where He is prepared to send down His special mercy in torrents upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna lillahi nafahatin min rahmatihi يُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. When it comes to these special events and occasions in the Islamic calendar, we are all well aware of the significance of the month of Ramadan. And we find that generally a person whose life is away from the masjid, his lifestyle is far from deen, in the month of Ramadan feels and perceives some connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan is well known. The month of Dhul-Hijjah, again, every mu'min identifies with the mawsim, the season of Hajj. But Allama Suyuti rahimahullah, the great commentator of Quran, he writes, he says that Ramadan included, Dhul-Hijjah included, every month in the Islamic calendar, the name stayed the same from the time of Jahiliyyah. So in the period of ignorance, what was Rabiul Awwal remained Rabiul Awwal. What was Dhul-Hijjah remained Dhul-Hijjah. 11 months of the Islamic calendar, the name was not changed. 1 month only, Allah gave it a new name, the month of Muharram. And not just a name, but the title that was attributed to it, Shahrullah al-Muharram, the month of Allah, the sacred month of Allah, Muharram. We can imagine, my respected brothers and elders, what an event, what an occasion, what an opportunity Allah is granting you and I to draw from His mercy. This is the favor upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we find every year at the turn of the calendar, we will hear various aspects pertaining to the significance of this month. And we would have found in the past week, social media is flooded with posts pertaining to the significance of Muharram, the virtues of the day of Ashura. How much of this we really read, how much we just forward, and how much we practice, that is a different topic for discussion. Together with this, ulama explained that very careful we have to be that in, especially in today's time, in our deen, many rusum, many customs, many practices foreign to the shariat and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been initiated. And therefore, Shah Abdul Haq Muhaddid Dehlawi rahimahullah writes, he says that on the day of Ashura, almost 10 practices, or 10 virtues, so-called virtues that have been mentioned are all unauthentic, baseless. It has been mentioned in certain riwayat, that person who will take a bath on the day of Ashura, then he will be saved from illness from the entire year, unverified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned Yusuf alayhi salam to Yaqub alayhi salam, unverified. Yes, two incidents, as we mentioned in the beginning, Allah granted safety to Banu Israel from Fir'aun. And secondly, Allah allowed the Ark of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to settle on dry land after the floods. These incidents did occur on the day of Ashura. But more than the virtues, more than the incidents that took place, what is the sabak? What is the lesson of Hijrat? What is the lesson of the month of Muharram? What is the lesson of the day of Ashura? On one hand, we acquaint ourselves with the practices. But it should not be that it becomes a ritual in our life on the day of Ashura every year. The question is asked, should the supper be on the 9th or on the 10th? When should we feed our family? Yes, the hadith is very clear. Man wassa'a ala iyalihi yawma Ashura, wassa'a Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanatihi, aw kama qal. That person who will increase his expenditure, upon who the word in the hadith is iyalihi, not his extended family. Yes, a person can spend on his extended family. But the virtue in question, that person who will increase his expenditure on his dependents. In other words, his immediate family members, his wife, his children, those who he normally takes care of. How will he increase? So generally a person purchases groceries for the house. Perhaps some appliance is needed. Perhaps some furniture is needed. Perhaps normally his budget is 1,000 rand for the month, now he increases it to 1,200 rand. Then Allah's promise is that for the entire year, Allah will increase his provisions upon this person. So these practices are there. But the sabak, the lesson behind the month of Muharram, when we say 1443, 1,443 years Hijri, 1,443 years after what? What was the incident of Hijrah? For us to understand, my respected brothers and elders, it is very easy to speak of it. But that chosen group of individuals, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were given the title radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. They earned Allah's pleasure. Allah was pleased with them, they were pleased with him. Those selfless individuals who gave their lives for the sake of this deen. 13 years in Makkatul Mukarrama, 13 years of persecution, 13 years of oppression, 13 years stripped of all human rights. Today, the entire world is crying out for human rights. The greatest oppression imaginable, the greatest violation of human rights took place in Makkatul Mukarrama. 13 years of suffering, 13 years of persecution. And now this group of mustada'afin, downtrodden, ill-equipped, they are asked to give the ultimate sacrifice. Now leave your home, leave your business, leave your family, leave your wealth. To put us into the picture, imagine a person grew up in Asheville. He lived his entire life here. The house you are living in was built by your grandfather. The business you are standing in set up by your great-grandfather. You know every resident, you know the musallis of the masjid. All your family is in this town. You have no friends elsewhere. You have no business interests elsewhere. Your property is freehold. Your vehicles are freehold. Business is booming. Your children are growing up. And now the call is made. Leave everything. Give up everything. And not just your property and your wealth. What was it like to be a Makki? A resident of Makkatul Mukarrama, the honor, that every year my grandfather would give water to the Hujjaj. Every year my great-grandfather would host the pilgrimage who would come to visit Baytullah. And now they are asked to abandon all of this. Give it up for the sake of Allah. Imagine a person says to us today, leave your credit cards behind. Give us the passwords for all your bank accounts. Whatever safes and money you have, leave it behind. Leave your vehicle behind. Leave your clothing behind. Whatever you can take on your back is yours and you move. And migrate to where? Generally in today's time when a person migrates, it's because he is moving to greener pastures. The future is brighter elsewhere. So he's got a better business opportunity. Or perhaps he's moving to be closer to some family members. But what was this migration all about? Where are you migrating to? Yathrib, Medina Munawwara. A city surrounded by Jewish tribes. A city where the Quraysh had no family. They had no friends. They had no allies. The Makki, the Quraysh were businessmen by profession. The profession of trade in Medina Munawwara, the profession of choice was farming. No know-how of farming. How are we going to see to ourselves? How are we going to set up our families? But the call was made, now migrate. Leave for the sake of Allah. Migrate for the pleasure of Allah. 1,443 years ago, this group of individuals made the ultimate sacrifice. Today their names are written in history. Today we are seated here with Iman because of their sacrifice. What is the sabak, my respected brothers and elders? What is the lesson behind Hijrat? That every year at the turn of the calendar, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be reminded that perhaps in your life you won't have to leave your home. Perhaps you won't have to leave your family. Perhaps you won't have to give up your business. But a time will come in your life when you will have to give up something for Allah's pleasure. Perhaps it is some bad habit that you have not given up for years. Perhaps it is some substance abuse. Perhaps it is some illicit relationship. Perhaps it is some lifestyle that you have been engaged in. But a time will come where you will also have to make hijrat from evil towards good. Maulana mentioned it last week, and I'm repeating it. The sabak of hijrat, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I mentioned in the beginning, al-muhajiru man hajara al-khataya wa-dhunub. Al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu anhu. After the conquest of Mecca, hijrat, as we know it from Mecca to Medina, this was no longer. So those who did not migrate, they lost out on the reward. But the doors of hijrat will remain till the day of Qiyamah, in which sense of the word? Who is the true muhajir? Who is the true emigrant? That person who will give up for the sake of Allah. And this, my respected brothers and elders, every year in the month of Ramadan, or in Rabiul Awwal, some big night, some program, some demise in the family, and we make these resolutions, these promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each of us can take stock and see how faithful have we been to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a reluctance to give up those avenues of guna, those avenues of sin. Allahu Akbar. Allah reward our mashayikh. How beautifully they have explained it to us. That young child who is standing on a ledge. He's standing, he has stable footing. And his father says to him, jump and I will catch you. Jump and I will catch you. And this young child, 3 or 4 years old, he's hesitant, he's reluctant. Right now he can feel the ground. He doesn't know when he jumps what's going to happen. Will my father catch me or will he drop me? And the father says to him, jump, jump. Eventually he plucks up the courage and he jumps. And when the father catches him, how he lets out a squeal of delight. He begins to laugh uncontrollably. The thrill, the rush that he experiences. And now what does he say to his father? Put me up once again. Catch me once again. A second time, a third time, a fourth time. The father becomes tired. He says, call the mother, let her catch me now. He has tasted the sweetness. He tasted the thrill. My respected brothers and elders, we also have to jump for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now, perhaps I am cushioned on all sides. Maybe life is smooth because I have some interest-bearing loan. So therefore, I'm living in a good house, I'm driving a nice vehicle. I seem to be covered from all angles. I'm enjoying my life of disobedience and sin. And no doubt it is enjoyable to an extent. It is enjoyable. Allah has kept temporary enjoyment in these things. And the fear is there, if I jump, who is going to catch me? My life will become bland. My life will become boring. I will lose all the excitement and joy from life. But just as that father will never allow the young child to fall down onto the ground, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu's love, Allah's mercy, Allah's compassion for you and I is greater than any father can have for his child. If we will jump, Allah will definitely catch us. Allah will never allow a person's efforts to go to waste. Allah will replace him not only in the hereafter but in this world also. The mashayikh always mention to us that person who has tasted a life of disobedience, he has not tasted the sweetness of the obedience of Allah. He has not tasted the sweetness of the zikr of Allah. He has not tasted the sweetness of coming to the masjid. He has not tasted the sweetness of waking up in the early hours of the morning and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in reality, he has not tasted any sweetness. We all know a cup of tea, a person cannot drink it without sugar. We can imagine the sweetness of the creator of sugar. How sweet his name is. How sweet his kalam is. How sweet his obedience is. The life of a mu'min will never be boring. The life of a mu'min will never be bland. This is the sabak of hijrah. That outwardly all odds are against us. Outwardly it seems impossible. Outwardly it is counted as a loss. But in the court of Allah it is never a loss. In the court of Allah you are gaining closeness to Allah. You are making your ta'alluq and your relationship with Allah. The sabak of hijrat, my respected brothers and elders, is that a time will come in our lives where we also will have to make that decision. That now I will give up my life of sin. I will give up my life of disobedience for the sake of Allah. And this will only happen when a person submits before Allah. The verse that was recited in the beginning, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Allah says, O people of Iman, O reciters of the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. O those who profess to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You already have Iman in your heart, but that is not enough. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam completely. 100% wholeheartedly accept every hukam of Allah, every decision of Allah. The wisdom behind it we may not be able to understand. But accept every decision of Allah, every command of Allah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And don't be deceived by following the footsteps of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is your sworn enemy. He will never have your best interests at heart. The only way for salvation and success, the only pathway to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has made the deen of Islam unique. We do not borrow from other traditions. We do not borrow from other cultures. We do not adopt the customs of any other nation. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Madinatul Munawwara, then he found the Jews fasting on the day of Ashura. So he inquired from them, why are you fasting? The narration is well known. So they said that this is a day that Allah granted salvation to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore we want to express our gratitude, our shukr to Allah. So we decided to honor this day by fasting on this day. So in the early days of Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's practice, when there was any practice that was done by the Jews or Christians, and Quran had not yet come down governing that practice. In other words, the laws of Islam were still being revealed. So if the Jews and Christians were practicing on something, and the mushrikeen and idol worshippers were practicing on something else, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would choose to follow the practice of the Jews and Christians. Because after all, they were following some scripture. Of course, there were alterations, there were changes made. But they had more of a link with the deen of Allah than the mushrikeen and idol worshippers. So he decided, we will also fast. And then when the conquest of Makkah took place, now the command came. That just as you were not borrowing from the mushrikeen, now you will not borrow from the Jews and Christians also. Now the deen of Islam, al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. On the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, the verse is revealed. Allah says, now your deen has been perfected. Now every law has been given to you. So the command was now, make mukhalafa. Oppose them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, la in baqitu ila qabil. If I live one more year, I will fast on 2 days. Something which is an ibadat, an act of worship, fasting for the pleasure of Allah. There also he did not tolerate inclination to the ways of the kuffar. The ahadith are full of incidents. The hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, Sumu at-Tasi' wal-Ashir, Khaliful Yahud, fast 2 days, the 9th and the 10th, and oppose the Jews. The hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Inna al-Yahuda wal-Nasara la yasbighun, fakhalifuhum. A sahabi comes, he asks, O Nabi of Allah, my beard has turned grey. Perhaps he was still young. I am looking old before my time. But the Jews and Christians deem it to be sinful to dye their beards. What must I do? Outwardly, there's no benefit, no harm. What is the answer? Innal Yahuda wa Nasara la yasbighun. The Jews and Christians don't do it, so you do it. Oppose them. The hadith of Muslim Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once again encourages us to make mukhalafa. Khaliful Majus. Juzu al-shawarib wa arfu al-luha. The fire worshippers, they trim their beards and they lengthen their mustaches. My ummah, you will be commanded to remove your mustache and lengthen your beards. Oppose them. The hadith of Abu Dawood, فَرْقُ مَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الْعَمَائِمْ عَلَى الْقَلَانِسِ. The polytheists, they also wear turbans. But they wear a turban without a topi. So our ummah will be commanded, wear your turban on your topi. From head to toe, respected brothers and elders. The life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is replete with incidents. The deen of Allah is unique. How sorrowful, how sad it is. You see that young girl or boy, 3 or 4 years old, the mother puts on a burqa for that girl, or a kurta for that boy. And the grandfather or the uncle makes a comment, why are you making him a molana before his time? Why are you making her an appa before her time? It's so hot, you're making her wear that burqa. What's going to happen to her? Is it that my children are only cute when they are dressed like the kuffar? Is it that my life will only be successful when I emulate them? How can success be in that lifestyle? How can happiness be in that lifestyle? Allah has given us a unique honor. Allah has made us the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no time to go into the details of the honor that will be given to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. A policeman does not need to, identify himself. He does not need to announce who he is when he walks on the street. One look at his uniform is enough. You know who he is, where he belongs to. But the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes a person doesn't know, should I make salam to him? How should I greet him? There's no outward sign of Islam on the person. There's no sign of Islam in his house. The house next door, the neighbor may be a non-Muslim, he's waking up at 7 in the morning. I'm also waking up at 7 in the morning. Fajr Salah is missed. He starts his day by checking his phone. I start my day by checking my phone. He sits down for a cup of coffee. He watches the morning news. I'm doing the same thing. When he puts on his clothes, he doesn't care whether he puts it on from the right or the left. No du'as. No remembrance of Allah. No intentions for the day. And I am aping him step by step by step. Whereas a mu'min, he starts his day with the remembrance of Allah. He puts a miswak into his mouth. He washes his hands. He recites du'as for protection. He bows down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He starts his day drawing the mercy of Allah. Respected brothers and elders, the lesson in the month of Muharram, on the day of Ashura, one is the practices that we will carry out. We may have fasted today, we'll fast tomorrow. We will increase our expenditure on our family members and dependents. But more importantly, the sabak and the lesson is that I must bring into my heart and my mind wholeheartedly accept the deen of Allah. Now in today's climate more than ever, we are well aware of the turmoil, the instability throughout the entire world over the last 2 years, and more so in our country in the recent past. Of course, a mu'min is always in need of the mercy of Allah, but more so now than ever. Now more than ever we are in need of the mercy of Allah. Those individuals, they left their homes and their properties so that today you and I are sitting here with iman. It should not be that I do not leave my evil lifestyle, my disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And down the line, my progeny has to suffer the consequences. I'll end with this incident, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in Khadir. They are traveling through a town. And nightfall approaches. They ask the people of the town if they can host them. But the people are very abrupt and rude. They refuse to host them. So they leave this town. On their way out, Khadir alayhi salam sees a wall. And this wall is about to fall down. So with his own hands, he repairs the wall. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, logically it doesn't make sense. So he says to him, what are you doing? These people kicked us out. They refused to host us. And here you are fixing their property free of charge. What is happening? So Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is the lesson for us. If we need any encouragement, if we need a reason to change our lives, if we need a reason to bring the deen of Allah into our lives, look at the words of Quran. أَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ Khadir says, this wall belonged to two orphan children in the city. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا And buried underneath this wall was some treasure, some wealth that belonged to them. If that wall had to collapse, the treasure would be exposed and these youngsters would not have the ability to protect it and look after it. But why does Allah's command come to Anbiya? According to many historians, Khadir was also a Nabi. If not, he was a pious person. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a messenger of Allah. Why this entire system had to be created and made for them to fix this wall? What does Quran say? Kana abuhuma saliha. These two orphan children, somewhere in their progeny, there was a pious person. Somewhere amongst their ascendants, there was a pious person. Some Mufassirin say up to seven generations upwards. Their great, 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 great grandfather was a righteous man, a man of Allah. Because of his piety, Allah made the intizam and system for the protection of his great grandchildren's property. A Nabi is sent to fix the wall. A Nabi is sent to secure the property. Respected brothers and elders, which father does not love his children? Which grandfather does not love his grandchildren? If we want to secure our progenies, the iman of our progenies, the safety of our progenies, the imani security of our progenies, then the time is now to make that decision with Allah. A mu'min does not make New Year resolutions. But when the opportunity is there, then we make intentions before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there is any intention to be made, that from today I will change my life. From today I will bring the deen of Allah into my life. From today I will wholeheartedly accept every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.